But how do we actually work with a koan? See, this has become sort of a critical question for myself. See, the point ultimately to practice is selflessness. This is what the great Joshu was talking about, ordinary. This is not you projecting out your egocentric self onto the world. See, what? Into this universe that you look into. What is this that you're looking into now? See, if you're still trapped behind your eyeballs, you're looking out into separation. There is a subject-object relationship to this. See, that is an illusion. Now, as we go along, I'll bring up some issues for me, see, in working with Roshi, that later became clear as I began to see beyond, to resolve, see, the dilemma. Now, again, starting into this, whenever I had, and whatever I had as an experience, it was in a retreat, see, and there were some of Roshi's major disciples that had achieved national and international standing. And one of them came up to me and said, "Nyogen, I thought, Roshi had told us, and I thought I would see you laughing and dancing in the hall, the zendo." And I was confused by that. I could not understand. Why? Because, for me, the issue of suffering wasn't resolved. See, and the resolution of the suffering of sentient beings, see, is of critical importance. It is the primary driving force behind a practice of purity. And then to begin to see, and that's the only word I can use, to see the subtlety, the amazing subtlety of what the practice means. If, and at that point, when it was still this major issue, the Shakyamuni's own story, looking at the morning star, see, how wondrous, I, see, the great earth and all beings, that's this I, the great earth and all beings simultaneously attain the way. And Keizan Zenji, in this Denko Roku, this is your first koan, see, in there, what is he talking about? He says, Keizan Zenji says, Shakyamuni Buddha, see, is not this I. This I is Shakyamuni Buddha. See, my experience, and I've talked about this, and the only validity I have is whatever my 48 or 49 years of practice have produced in my universe, in my experience. See? The only way I could describe it, it's the wave. See, a wave rises up in the ocean. See, Shakyamuni Buddha rose up karmically out of this great, see, empty space. See, driven by karma, the wave. Is the wave the ocean? See, the wave's not the ocean. The ocean is the wave. But is the wave different from the ocean? No, it's identical. And this is where there is a hook. See, for those who don't practice with purity, see, purity, see, commitment to Dharma and Dharma alone, see, this is where they can find an avenue out and they can turn this in, they can produce, see, just another professional standing. See, what stage am I in? See? Now, Maizumi Roshi, as far as I was concerned, was the foremost koan master in the world during his time, and some of the biggest names on stage, I've sat in a room and listened to them talk about koans, and they didn't get it. When you worked in front of Masumi Roshi with a koan, you were in the presence of a profound practitioner. See. Now, because of this, and because of the 27 years I worked with him, I thought this would be interesting to look at today. See, what does he have to say about the practice of koans? And for each one of us, we have to look carefully at ourselves and see, is our practice pure in the way Masumi Roshi would talk about koan practice? See, and he wrote the foreword to Cleary's translation of the Blue Cliff Record, if any of you are interested in reading this. And he begins by quoting a verse, and I love this, "Boundless wind and moon, the eye within eyes, inexhaustible heaven and earth, the light beyond light, the willow dark, the flower bright, 10,000 houses. Knock at any door, there's one who will respond." See, this is quite beautiful. And he said, this verse is known as the preface to the Blue Cliff Record. The name of the book is taken from the place where it was written. All heaven and earth is nothing but the mass of this blue cliff. You see, if you already see, he is already walking you into different dimensions. He said the hundred cases selected by Shuetao, or Secho, see, for the Blue Cliff Record are as 10,000 and 84,000. He's telling, it is infinite in numbers, see? And these are the numbers of dharmas expounded by the Shakyamuni Buddha. The innumerable dharmas revealed by him are to be found in each case of the Blue Cliff Record. Do you see that? Do you grasp what he was talking about and the way he experienced it? It isn't a merit badge. See, each koan should bring about a subtle change. Now here there was a problem, see. Later he told me in our discussion that he'd come to the United States, see, to produce teachers. See. And I suppose if that is the goal, to produce teachers, then maybe we lump everybody into this and push everybody through koan practice as soon as you possibly can. Now, I didn't approach practice in that way because karmically I had the great good fortune was I was not interested in posturing. See, because I was intimately familiar with suffering. See, actually that's the only thing that I have a continuous memory of from the time I was little until I found the Buddha Dharma. And literally up to this day, suffering. See, and I suppose some people don't have that experience, much to their misfortune. Consequently, they will look for something outside of that. And perhaps that was my good fortune in that I simply wanted each koan to be a turning, showing me a way out, freedom. See, now, I took more time on the first koan than some of those people took to complete koan practice. But see, again, I was in pretty good shape. I was with some real good fellow travelers on this because the great Mumon himself took 8 years to answer the first koan. See, what an amazing thing. And some would complete. But when we look at that, and you look at yourself, what is it that you want? Is this a profession? See, is it another stage that you can posture on? See, in our lineage, see, the older teachers in this, Yasutani and Kori Roshi, Joko Roshi, see, Harada Roshi, particularly Harada Roshi, see, and Joko Roshi, see, they were opposed to what was occurring. See, and again, I would have said to Roshi, at the time I didn't, when he said he was simply trying to produce teachers to carry on the Dharma. And he once talked to me about Sangha. He said, in truth, Nyogen, I don't care about Sangha. He said, that will be up for you people to develop Sangha, a community. See? And again, how we understand any of this becomes of critical importance. But I would have said to him today, Roshi, you don't go to practice to produce teachers. You practice Dharma for the sake of Dharma. And in that, see, teachers will arise. See? And Roshi, toward the end of his life, and actually the last year, talked to me about that. See? He said there are numerous ways. Now this again, he's going to start telling you something. He said there are numerous ways to read a book. Skimming, memorizing, careful study, quiet reading, reading aloud, reading with the body, reading with the mind, and reality reading. It is this last kind of reading which the Blue Cliff requires. In this mode, you yourself become the case. And in so doing, the Blue Cliff of ancient China stands revealed as your very life, right here in this time and place. He's talking to us right here. This Blue Cliff, see, stands exposed if you can see it. But it isn't what you understand. See, that's the dualistic. That's the defiled. That isn't pure. And that's why there has to be right effort. Right effort. In our line, Harada Roshi. I've said this dozens of times, see, to get it. He talked about the old woman in Mount Tai, which was Mushoku's koan. See, he said it took him 10 years to see that clearly. See, what kind of practice is that? It doesn't mean that he was stuck. He went to see it clearly. See, if we truly practice these koans, see, if you truly become the koan, see, each one of them, see, will be a window, will be a doorway into your life. And you will begin to see how you cause yourself grief and pain and suffering. See, and if you're causing yourself greed, that subtle attitude towards something or someone will completely shape the color that you experience, see, of this Buddha mind. It won't be Buddha mind, it will be samsara. Reality reading in this mode, you yourself become the case. See, it doesn't say you intellectually understand. You become the case. And in so doing, the Blue Cliff of ancient China stands revealed as your very life. Right here, in this time and place. He goes on to say, it was Dogen Zenji, founder of the Soto School of Japanese Zen, brought this collection to Japan in 1227 at the age of 26. And Dogen had completed 5 years of study in China and was preparing for his return to Japan. But shortly before leaving, he discovered a copy of the Blue Cliff Record. And he was so impressed that he spent his entire last night in China sitting up and hand-copying it. The hand-copied manuscript, known as the One Night Blue Cliff Record, is now treasured and housed at Daijoji Monastery in Japan. See, it's an interesting thing. See, what a profound experience, and particularly when we begin to think, and Roshi's going to address this issue a little bit, because the scholars will tell you, many of them, see, that the Soto school in Dogen was opposed to koan practice. Although Dogen, in his own collection, talks about 300 koans. See? Roshi said, the Blue Cliff record has become almost uniquely revered among Zen Buddhists as a model koan text, especially noted for its subtlety and profundity in both form and content. Again, when you begin to approach the koan, how do you approach them? See, from the perspective, how Roshi would approach this. And if you'd worked with Roshi and the Dokusan Umon this, you would have a profound experience with him in this, particularly if he started to go down into the deep, deep levels of samadhi, see, to express a koan. See, at this point, see, it reminded me of working with him on one koan. See, and in this particular koan, a young Zen monk comes in, but he is magnificent, see, in his purity. See, and the old teacher, see, and Roshi described to me, I had worked this koan, and then Roshi started to describe this koan, and then Roshi started to manifest this koan. And it's in Nyogen, look at this student. Ah, how a teacher longs for this kind of, look at him, this young tiger. Can you see the muscles rippling as he comes in, snarling, the fangs? See, Roshi is bringing it alive in there. And he says, and the teacher, oh, grandma tiger, no teeth. See, no teeth. And look this, and the young tiger, and it's a dharma combat, and the young tiger lums up. He says, oh, grandma tiger, doesn't even have to flex its claws, bats him. Young tiger rose, comes up, snark, and I look up, and tears are rolling down Roshi's face. See, what an amazing thing to sit in the presence of a koan being manifest like that. This was his profound grasp of what this practice is. He goes on to say, interestingly enough, another koan collection, the Book of Equanimity, the Shoyo Roku, this is what all of our people, Doshin, we all, whoever sits as a head trainee or as a shuso, they select a koan from that. See, and again, in what Roshi's going to tell you, he said it parallels in its form and level of sophistication. But unlike the Blue Cliff record, which was compiled and refined by masters of the Rinzai and Umon schools, the Book of Equanimity is a product of the Soto lineage and is primarily associated with that school. And it's one of the most amazing collections. It's an absolutely beautiful collection. And scholars have completely misunderstood. Even the great Hong Zhe, silent illumination, they don't understand. See? And Thaw Wei himself, even though they were friends, scholars misinterpret their relationship. See, silent illumination is not sitting in a blank hole. See, it is Zazen. See, it is the realm of no separation. He goes on to say, nevertheless, the Blue Cliff record appears to have been widely appreciated by Soto masters, although the Book of Equanimity failed to gain much prominence among teachers of the Rinzai school. See, only Maizumi Roshi would be aware of this. In our lineage, we are unique in this aspect. See, Harada Roshi could not find a Soto master, see, that he considered enlightened. So he found his teacher among the Rinzai teachers and received transmission through that. A Soto monk, see, receiving transmission through a Rinzai master, see. And we can also see that within Maizumi Roshi and Kori Roshi, see. And Kori Roshi's lineage we can trace back to the great Hakuin Zenji, see. So we are unique in that. We are, see, committed as wall gazers, Zazen, Shikantaza, just sitting. But we practice Rinzai style, see, the koan practice. And yet, that again, see, is a misunderstanding of the history. He says it's noteworthy that Dogen Zenji selected 24 cases from the Blue Cliff record, nearly a fourth of the total number of cases, for inclusion in his own 300-case collection, see, of koans, entitled Shinji Shobogenzo. See? And we mention this because of an unfortunately widespread impression nowadays that Dogen Zenji and the Soto school represent a non-koan or even anti-koan orientation with Zen. And I've read college professors, teachers of religion, who have held this position. It's not the case. See, anybody who reads the Shobogenzo, see, knows that Dogen Zenji brings up koans and he makes commentary on the koans. He says, in fact, nothing could be further from the truth. Like Tawei, of the Linchi school, Dogen Zenji was critical of the abuses of koan study in his day. These abuses, which essentially involved a stereotyped and overly intellectual use of koans, led Dogen Zenji to express this concern, lest the clarity and vigor of Zen students fall into deeper decline. Now, he says Tawei's burning of the Blue Cliff record was an expression of his concern over the misuse of koans. See, now, I won't go into the story, but there's a whole story behind this. See, after Secho, later, and I don't know whether it was 100, 200 years, see, that the great Yangwu, see, Engo in the Japanese, compiled and pulled this together, see, with commentary and introduction, see, and Tawei was his disciple. But again, see, burning it because it was being misused. We have to be careful. See, these are amazing tools to work with. The only spiritual practice that uses these kinds of tools, see, to work with. See, Tawei's burning of the Blue Cliff record was an expression of his concern over the misuse of koans. Rather than any fundamental objection to the use of koans, verses, or commentaries as such, it's the misuse. And that's what I have here repeatedly asked. See, what is it that you want? Your aspiration? Do you want freedom? See, and if you are concerned with the suffering, see, how do you turn samsara? See, samsara will never be turned into a Buddha field. See, only you can make that transition. That's transformation. Where you are as you are, this blue cliff can be transformed into a Buddha field. Samsara, the basic ground of samsara, see, is ignorance, greed, and anger. A Buddha field, this place here, the basic ground of it, freed, see, from the petty grasping of the egocentric self, is compassion. And that compassion is freed from fear. No fear. See, can you imagine what that's like? Can you look deeply enough into yourself to see how much of your life is driven by fear? See, you won't step from the top of a 100-foot pole into vast emptiness, no holiness, because of fear. See, only you can transform this place. This is what Roshi has pointed out. See? He said, avoiding sectarian prejudice, misunderstanding, or biased views of koans. See, do you hear? Avoiding sectarian prejudice, misunderstanding, or biased views of koans, I sincerely wish that the Blue Cliff Record, one of the most wonderful Dharma treasures of the world's Eastern heritage, will at last be fully appreciated by and benefit, see, its Western readers. And Roshi concludes, see, with a famous expression of Dharma. And now this is a very subtle. Before attaining enlightenment, mountains are mountains, rivers are rivers. At the moment of enlightenment, mountains are no longer mountains, nor are rivers rivers. But after accomplishment, enlightenment, see, mountains are mountains, rivers are rivers. See, and this is the absolute difference between samsara, see, and a Buddha field.